Human behavior has always been affected and shaped by technology, but there has been no greater influence, as far as I can see, than the advent of the Internet. You don't have to be an expert in the subject of online behavior to have observed that something about cyberspace provokes people to be more adventurous. The illusion is that the cyber environment is safer than real life, and connecting with other people online somehow carries fewer risks than face-to-face contact. But our instincts were trained and honed for the real world, and in the absence of real-world cues and other subtle pieces of information, facial expressions, body language, physical spaces, we aren't able to make fully informed decisions. And because we aren't face-to-face when we are communicating and interacting with others online, we can be anonymous or, more important, we feel we are. As discussed in the prologue to this book, we can feel freed up and emboldened online. People can lose their inhibitions and, in a way, act drunk, because for some, being in the cyber environment can impair judgment and increase impulsivity, somewhat similar to the way alcohol can. Disinhibition is facilitated by the environmental conditions of cyberspace, by the perceived lack of authority, the anonymity, as well as the sense of distance or physical remove. You see this in the changing courtship rituals of self-curated selfies and sexts, and in flirtatious exchanges on social networking sites. Online, we feel more comfortable being bold and explicit. An individual may demonstrate common sense, rationality, and restraint in real life, and check these qualities at the door when entering cyberspace. Why? In cyberpsychology, the explanation for this emboldened behavior is known as the online disinhibition effect, first introduced by John Suler and now highly cited and accepted by academics in the field. Another powerful factor comes into play, which I have studied and written about, online escalation. It is a construct or concept that I use to describe how problem behaviors become bigger or amplified online, as many of us have already witnessed in everything from super negative exchanges via flaming emails, aggressive texts, and offensive posts, to comment threads that are meant to provoke. It isn't that technology is bad for us or inherently negative. Problems occur when we are ignorant of its impact. Most people don't understand the effect that the environment of cyberspace can have on them. They think it's the same as anywhere else. Individuals who behave impulsively or struggle with a tendency to act rashly may be especially vulnerable. But due to the effect of online escalation, anyone can move more quickly into new behavior and new norms. Later on, in a chapter about cyber romance, I will discuss the new ways people meet, make friends, form communities, and find meaningful personal connections online. In this chapter, though, I'll be exploring the impact of technology on a smaller slice of the population, specifically individuals with a fetish or paraphilia, what is considered atypical sexual behavior. Why bother looking so closely at one specific population online? By studying the extreme effects of technology on fringe or unusual behavior, we begin to see more clearly the implications of the cyber environment for all of us. As a forensic cyber psychologist, I've seen this demonstrated time and again. Whenever technology comes in contact with an underlying predisposition or tendency for a certain behavior, it can result in behavioral amplification or escalation. I would argue that tendencies and vulnerabilities that cause the most distress in real life may become even more of a battle online. That goes for any behavior. If these tendencies aren't destructive or risky, the impact can be fairly benign. If someone just loves to visit online forums for gardeners, there isn't much that's self-destructive about that. But there are many incidences of risky behavior becoming much riskier online, especially pathological and criminal behavior. Here's an example of what I mean. A stalker in the real world typically focuses on one victim at any given time. But a cyber stalker can stalk multiple victims simultaneously because technology makes that possible. Cyber stalking is considered an evolution of a real-world criminal behavior. Cyberspace is a breeding ground for mutations. Real-world behavior migrates there and escalates or accelerates. This can sometimes have serious implications in the real world.